This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio, and first I want to bring you up to date on the story that's developing in downtown Durham. Police in Durham have closed off part of Main Street ahead of a rumored white supremacist protest. We have reports that several downtown businesses have closed early, Durham County has closed office buildings and sent workers home early, and that the Sheriff's Department is looking into rumors of demonstrations. WUNC has reporters on the streets in Durham, and they say at this time no signs of any protest activity, but they're going to stay at the scene, and we will keep you up to date as the hour passes. Of course, white supremacist protest very much in the news this week. President Donald Trump continues to receive criticism for his response to the Charlottesville violence this past weekend. At a news conference on Tuesday, the president said both white supremacists and counter-protesters were responsible.
You had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. And nobody wants to say that, but I'll say it right now. You had a group on the other side that came charging in without a permit, and they were very, very violent.
So politicians, the military, business leaders, all now keeping their distance from the president since those remarks. But, you know, not everybody's been critical of the president. Polls show that he still has overwhelming support from Republican voters. What does that mean for the Trump administration, for the GOP, all of that moving forward? We talk now about that and more with political junkie Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Frank.
Talk about the fallout from his response to Charlottesville. We've got military leaders, business leaders, politicians in his own party, very, very critical. What stands out to you about the backlash toward the president from his response?
Well, I think the fact that it's interesting to see the different kinds of responses you're getting from Republicans. The most of the Republicans I've heard from, they say that any kind of embracing of the Klan or neo-Nazis is reprehensible and it's wrong, and any kind of dilly-dallying over bigotry is absolutely unacceptable. But for the most part, most Republicans have refused to attack or criticize the president directly. There are some, Bob Corker, who's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, the Republican senator from Tennessee, he wondered about Trump's stability. But for the most part, what I'm hearing from most Republicans are like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, people who make a difference, who have key leadership roles on Capitol Hill. They talk more about there could be no tolerance for bigotry, but not as much a denunciation of President Trump, especially in light of what he said on Tuesday and his tweets on Wednesday.
And North Carolina Republican Senator Richard Burr spoke with a reporter from the Greensboro News and Record this week.
I think the president's misguided in his last statements. I think that the commander-in-chief should be very specific about our way forward, not embracing what they did or who did it at all.
All right, so that's Republican Senator Richard Burr of North Carolina talking with a reporter from the Greensboro News and Record. I'm talking with the political junkie. So you say most people in office right now are not taking a frontal attack against the president, but making it clear that they want to put some distance between how he understood what happened in Charlottesville and what they see. How long can they? And again, the support for the president and his comments publicly, nationally, seems to be pretty slim. Do people in office, do Republican leaders have to take a stand on this, or can they wait for this to blow over?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, every time I think that Trump is crossing a line or approaching a line, he seems to survive, and he always manages to do so. I thought it was interesting when we heard Shepard Smith, the anchor at Fox News, say we invited every Republican we could think of to come on the program and defend Donald Trump, and not one Republican would do so. I thought that was very telling. And also, it's also interesting that, you know, we mentioned Richard Burr talking about the misguided decisions of President Trump. Jeff Flake, the senator from Arizona, who is one of the few Republicans up for re-election next year, of course, he's very critical of Trump. He has a new book out that's really critical of Trump. And now Trump is basically all but endorsing his right-wing opponent in next year's primary. Trump is going to a rally in Phoenix later this week where he may or may not offer a pardon to Joe Arpaio, the former sheriff out there who has a career of just, you know, abusing and doing terrible things to Latinos. So, I mean, the thing is, you criticize the president at your own political risk. Jeff Flake is definitely taking a stand. But when you have the president of the United States saying, well, you know, this guy is weak and awful, and he's a flake, is what, I mean, the thought of a president of the United States ripping apart members of his own party who are up for re-election is just, you know, not something we see often in political realities. And of course, when you do so, you have your the future of your own career at risk.
Well, we talked about people in office having to walk a line. Obviously, Republicans out of office, including two former presidents and a former presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, have been far more critical and far more outspoken. Mitt Romney today said whether he intended it or not, what he communicated causes racists to rejoice, minorities to weep, and the vast heart of America to mourn. That's Mitt Romney. And you had also, he went on to say that this has geopolitical impact as well. Our allies are stunned by his response. Can we expect them to support us in, let's say, another kind of way, as they did after 9/11? And you heard Richard Burr refer to the president as commander-in-chief in his criticism. And I wonder if the breadth of the impact of this will begin to take its toll, or we're just going to move on.
Well, no, I don't. I really think we did cross a line. Something did change this week, especially with the president's comments. First on Saturday, then he seemed to dial back on it on Monday, and then he said, "No, what was I thinking?" On Tuesday, he went all out again. There's a lack of moral authority coming from the president. When I think of Bill Clinton during Oklahoma City and George W. Bush during 9/11, and President Obama after the Charleston church murders. Again, a president needs to stand up and show leadership. The fact that the president of the United States was not there at the memorial service for Heather Heyer, the woman who lost her life when the Ohio terrorist rammed his car into that crowd, where was the president? I mean, you think of other presidents who definitely would have been there. There was no President Trump, as something that where the president of the United States should have attended.
You talked about his backpedaling on the statements. Originally, a lot of criticism for 2 days about the president's equivocating over who was responsible and not delivering unequivocal criticism to white supremacists, KKK, neo-Nazis. 2 days later, apparently on the advice of White House staff, he finally comes up with another statement and then backpedals. What does it say about who's in control? We were thinking there was some thought that General John Kelly, as the new chief of staff, might bring some discipline to the White House. Apparently not, at least not in this case.
Well, there's a great when President Trump had that very weird food fight at Trump Tower on Tuesday, when he was very combative with the press and the press was combative in return. If you looked at General John Kelly, he was on the far left of the screen when Donald Trump was talking about the both sides and many sides. And John Kelly had his arms crossed and looking down at the floor as if, like, what am I doing here? And how do I justify what I'm doing here? So, you know, you always talk about John Kelly, who has a very spotless record, who is thought of as a strict disciplinarian. And the thought, but the real reality is a thought of any chief of staff coming into this White House and making it, you know, perform normally or with some kind of discipline is obviously out the window. Donald Trump listens to Donald Trump. He does have a base that supports him. But the fact is that every time he starts tweeting or opens his mouth at a conference like this where he is unscripted and not reading from a teleprompter, the Republicans go crazy. And many people inside the White House go crazy as well. But it should be pointed out that not one has talked about resigning as of now.
Well, it's interesting. The Republican leadership may be going crazy. He still has a strong support among Republican voters, though his support in the polls this week among those who strongly support the president is slipping quickly. So now that's down in the mid-20s, and that's a key indicator of support. But still upwards of 70% of Republican voters say they support the president. And it's interesting, if you have the majority of Americans saying they don't, and particularly in this case on Charlottesville, where does that leave the Republican Party? Are they in danger of becoming a fringe party in the United States?
Well, maybe yes, maybe no. You know, we did see the primary in Alabama, the Senate primary last week, and the person who finished first is that was by far the most conservative, Roy Moore, who has talked about Ten Commandments and how God has put Donald Trump in the White House. And the guy who finished second was Luther Strange, the interim senator who was endorsed very strongly by Donald Trump. So we keep talking about how, you know, everybody is just moving away from Donald Trump, and a lot of Republicans are more and more nervous. But until you hear the leadership come up with a different kind of viewpoint towards the president, until you see Republican voters saying this is really dangerous, we're in dangerous territory here, nothing will change.
Very quickly, Ken, if the president is listening to anybody, it might be, apparently, Steve Bannon, his chief strategist, and yet we're seeing reports that his days may be numbered. What do you think?
Well, that's very interesting, because Steve Bannon is clearly the nationalist who loves the thought of the alt-right, the guy who came from Breitbart News, the guy who's been pushing this in the White House, but he's supposed to be on the outs. But you know something, people like Corey Lewandowski, there are a lot of people who are on the outs with the president, and suddenly they reappear as a senior advisor. So all the talk about the president distancing himself from Steve Bannon, that may be just hype. Let's just see what happens. But ultimately, Donald Trump is his own master.
All right, Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
The political junkie is Ken Rudin. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. We're following the situation in Durham, where there are reports of a planned KKK or white supremacist rally in downtown Durham. Some of the streets are closed off as a result. So far, our reporters say no sign of KKK or white supremacist demonstrators. However, hundreds of counter demonstrators are marching toward the courthouse. So we will keep you posted on that as well. Coming up, we'll talk with a comedian who's headed to North Carolina and does satire of his own, and you'll hear that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.